So this sermon is about the movie I Can Only Imagine, which we haven't seen yet. And if I'm honest with you, I've never seen it myself. So we'll see how the sermon goes with the movie that I haven't seen, because I'm kind of working off of the song, right? Because the movie is about the guy and why he wrote the song. And I hear it's excellent. So you're welcome to come out, and we'll talk about how my sermon hit the movie or it didn't. Last week I said a little bit about, I was talking a little bit about N.T. Wright, a great scholar, great Anglican scholar who in his book Surprised by Hope discusses the reality that in the early church in the first century A.D. that people were not focused on going to heaven. In fact, instead, they were more concerned about the resurrection of the dead and how you and I don't really even talk about the resurrection of the dead anymore. It's not something that is a popular sermon topic. It's not something that's talked about at funerals. We talk about heaven and going to heaven after we die. And I got a lot of questions about that. I was at the credit union taking care of some financial business, and somebody from the congregation stopped me and said, well, why is that? And then I was at the grocery store, and someone else who had been at the service stopped me and said, why is that? And I even had a couple people come into the office asking, you know, why is that? And I thought, That'd be a good sermon to go out on before vacation. And so the reason is pretty simple, and I'll get to it here in a second. But first of all, to make sure we're all on the same page, human beings hate to wait. Who here likes to wait? And in some situations, I have my hand up, but I hate waiting too. And in some situations where we know we're going to wait, it's waiting is easier than in other situations where we don't. So, like, I had to go to the BMV, and if I get in and out of the BMV fairly quickly, I'm happy. Because my expectation is I'm going to have a little bit of time when I get there, right? You know, I can balance my checkbook and do my taxes and read War and Peace and put a Bible study together and do a little quantum physics. I'm going to have some time. So if I go to the BMV and I have to wait, it doesn't really upset me because that's what I expect. But when I'm hungry and I put the popcorn in the microwave, that like time between when it starts and the first pop pops, it just seems like forever, doesn't it? Pop, will you? Already, I'm so hungry. We hate to wait. And it's not even necessarily connected with length of time. It's when we expect something and it doesn't come. When we want it to come, or it's delayed, or it happens when it's supposed to happen, but we want it to happen right now, we don't like that. That's especially true when we're in pain. I don't know about you, but when I woke up this morning, hour before my alarm was set to go off, when my dog licked my face. Albert licked my face because he wanted to go outside, and so I woke up and I found Brandy, who doesn't like to wake up early. She's our 15-year-old mini dachshund. Albert's one. I would say they're the best of friends, but it's like a grouchy senior citizen dealing with a preteen all the time. And so I gathered him up and I took him to the back door and I let him out. But before I can even take a step out of bed, man, ouch. Back hurts. Knees hurt. Achilles hurts. Ears hurt. Nose hurts. Duodenum hurts. Everything hurts. Who wakes up in the morning and stuff just hurts? Anybody out there? There you go. I remember when there was a time when that didn't happen. I remember when I could just bounce out of bed and bound down the steps and eat my Count Chocula and day was great. But you know what? When I get sick, as bad as I feel sometimes when I wake up in the morning, and as many aches and pains as I have now, when I'm sick, I wish I felt like I did right now. When you're in pain, even your worst aches and pains on a regular basis, you would welcome back when you're in great pain, when you're very sick. And as you get older, you begin to really appreciate good health. When you have good health, maybe you don't appreciate it as much. But as you get older, you do. See, we don't like to wait around. And we especially don't like to wait around when we're in pain. And see, that is the reason why we don't talk as much about the resurrection of the dead. We talk more about heaven. And the early church didn't talk very much about heaven. They talked a lot about the resurrection of the dead. You see, everybody who believed in Jesus, his disciples and followers when he walked the earth, the people who watched him ascend into heaven, the 120 who waited in the temple court for the Pentecost to begin, the growing thousands who came to know him as the apostles and evangelists spread out across the Roman world, all of the Christians that Paul led to Jesus, all of these people believed Jesus was coming back before they died. All of them. And Paul, as you can see in 1 Corinthians 15, has a problem. All of the apostles do. Jesus walked the face of the earth, did his ministry. It was completed by somewhere between 30 and 32 AD. When Paul is writing this text to the church in Corinth, it's probably late 50s AD. And what's happening is, as time is passing, believers are dying. And Jesus hasn't come back yet. And people actually started to leave the church. Some people, you know, there were some false teachers that said, "Ah, the resurrection already happened. You missed it. It already happened." And they're like, no. It's, you know, because everyone wanted to be a part of this great, correction that was supposed to be a part of the Messiahship, where the world was going to be made like it was when it was created, where God and the way God intended it to be, right? Because that's what Jesus promises. He promises this new kingdom. And people of the Jewish faith have been watching and waiting for this Messiah for 600 years. And they're tired of being on the bottom. But see, here's the thing. The kingdom that Jesus is preaching about doesn't align with the expectation of the kingdom that people believe is going to happen or want to happen. See, they want to be on top. Remember, there was this one day Jesus was walking with the disciples. There's this scripture. Jesus is walking with the disciples, and the disciples are arguing with one another. And Jesus knows what they're arguing about, but he pulls a dad move, right? And instead of just confronting them, he asks the question, "What are you all discussing?" And everybody kind of gets quiet for a second. You know, that's a dad move, because what happens is when you're not paying any attention, your four sons are fighting over the last popsicle, and it's starting to get really loud, and you know they're fighting over the last popsicle, but instead of just saying something about it, you ask the question, "What are you guys fighting about?" Because that gives you the opportunity, while they're telling you what's going on, to go and take the last popsicle and eat it yourself. Jesus pulls a dad move and they have to tell him, we were arguing about who is second in command. Why do you think that was? You think they expected some simple, peaceful kingdom where there's no crowns and no thrones and no armies and no big piles of gold? I mean, the disciples didn't get it. If it makes you feel any better, the disciples didn't get it. They walked with the guy and they didn't get it. And Jesus said, you don't really want to be the head of this kingdom. You don't want to carry that load. Because he knew what was coming. And he knew what it meant. And he made it clear to his disciples that if they wanted to lead, they had to follow, because it was a kingdom that people didn't expect. When Jesus talks about heaven and hell, he's not talking about heaven and hell. I know that sounds like something crazy from a liberal hippie preacher, but it's true. When Jesus talks about heaven and hell, he's not talking about heaven and hell. He's talking about what we perceive to be, to how God works in this world among us. So like in this text about Lazarus and the rich man, Jesus is not trying to paint a picture of hell, which then Dante can use in Dante's Inferno to literally scare the hell out of us. That's not the idea. The focus is not heaven and hell. The shocking piece of the story is that the rich man doesn't go to heaven. And if you want to know who's rich, I got some people in the congregation who sometimes feel a lot of guilt because they're rich. But you see, I've been to Haiti. I have walked among those who are poor. And I just want you all to know, I'm not letting anybody in here off of the hook, including myself. You're all rich. You are all the rich man. Every single one of you. Me too. And so when, you know, Jesus has this confrontation earlier where he talks about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go to heaven. And it says the people that are listening are astonished. And who are the people listening? It wasn't the general crowd. It was the disciples who said, if there's no hope for the rich, then what hope is there for us? Jesus said, well, with me, anything is possible, but it gives you a sense, a glimpse into that world. People believe that if you were rich and if you were powerful, that you were blessed by the living God. If you lived in the faith, they didn't feel the same way about Caesar because he wasn't Jewish. But inside of their tribe, that's the way people looked at the world. And Jesus is shaking up the way we're supposed to think about things. Jesus isn't talking about heaven and hell. He's talking about now. The way the rich man should live his life. That the rich man should care about what happens to Lazarus. Jesus wants us to take care of one another. Jesus wants us to love one another. Even more fundamentally than that, Jesus wants you and I to understand the power that each one of us really and truly has in this world, particularly as it relates to others. Whether you're poor, rich, young, old, had a good life, hard life, going through a rough patch. Everybody can be used by God to make this world a little bit easier for somebody else. And if you're somebody who is walking through the valley of the shadow of death because of circumstances in your life, there is no shortcut. All you can hope for are good friends sent through the power of God's grace to offer you comfort and love that often is difficult to experience from a God you can't see and a God you can't touch. You see, we're supposed to be the arms and feet, so if you're walking through a rough patch, you don't be afraid to receive comfort and assistance from somebody else. Don't let your pride get in the way of those relationships. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what he's saying. And he's saying the people who think they got it all figured out, a person could rise from the dead and they're not going to change their mind. That's just not the way that it works. If you feel like you're the one who's blessed because you're on top, or you're the one that's lost because you are on the bottom, if you believe that, there's nothing that's going to change that until you don't believe it anymore. And so, God uses us. He intercedes directly through the power of the Holy Spirit. But often he uses his broken, imperfect vessels, who are you and me. Anybody speak a word of hope into your life when you needed it? Anybody offer you a hug or some help when you really needed it, when you were at a low point? You think God wasn't listening? God was listening. It's just, the question is, are you and I listening too? I mean, I have been in the pit of despair. I have been there. I have been stuck in the miry clay, just like every single one of you. And it is easy to not see anything except the situation that we're in and the moment that we're in it. But God has good things for you. God's love was never dependent upon whether you had a lot of stuff or whether you had nothing. The greatest gift that he wanted to give you was that he loved you and you knew it, and you loved him back. And then you began to practice in this life the way heaven, we think heaven will be in the next. As much as you're able, as imperfect people in an imperfect world, as best as we possibly can in the midst of this brokenness, to try and pull heaven and earth closer together. See, we don't like to wait, especially when we're in pain. And so people began to die. This idea of now, that what Jesus was really concerned about was now. It was about this world that we live in and how we treat one another and how we take care of one another and how we take care of this world that we live in. That's Jesus' real focus. But people, it's hard. It's we're in pain. We want it to stop. Jesus, come back. And 100 years passed, and 200 years passed, and 500 years passed, and 1,000 years passed. And now 2,000 years have passed. And still, no Jesus. Still hasn't come back. And people have given up. They've given up on this world. They just want to be whisked away. There are whole veins of Christianity that just teach you not to worry about this world at all. It's all about the world to come. It's all about the things you'll receive that you didn't have here in the world to come. God wants so much more for us than that. God wants so much more for you and for me than that. God wants to make this world more like he intended it to be in the beginning. And that happens every time we love one another as ourselves. When we can see ourselves the way God sees us, as precious gifts. And when we can see others the way God sees them, as our brothers and sisters, with one really gracious Father. And together, we complete the love of God. See, that's what I keep imagining. And when I listen to the praise band sing that song that we all sang together with Philippian Missionary Baptist Church, and I place myself here for that joint worship service that day, that it takes me to that place. It gives me this sense of a better place that we can be. And when I'm told by members of the collaborative, I'm told that's the name they've given themselves, five people from Shawnee and five people from Philippian, looking for ways for the church to work together. And that one of the things they're doing together right now is doing ride-alongs with police officers in the city of Lima. We ain't just going to have Bible study. We're not just going to wave our hands up in the air and talk about the glory that we are to expect. We want to knit people together in this community who feel very far apart, because we can, if we trust in the Lord and we remember that the kingdom is at hand.